Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of It's Not My Fault the OASG Podcast is Not Popular. We are now on episode 243. My name is Helen.
My name is Justin.
So many episodes. Every time I'm like, we are still doing this. Goddamn.
We are going to do this for as long as we feel like it, I guess. I don't know.
I was going to say, and of course, we are still watching anime, but let's be real. Justin and I would be watching anime, reading manga, reading light novels, etc., even if we weren't doing this podcast. And I know that we were talking about the new spring series last week.
Helen.
I hadn't actually watched any by that point, and so I have watched some, and I know that you've also got a couple more that you've started watching. Although one of them is not a spring series for you. One of them is technically a winter series.
Yeah, I didn't talk about it last time, so I'm going to try to talk about it this episode. So go ahead, Helen. You made me talk for almost an hour last episode. You take it off.
Listen,
this time.
Justin, I do not make you do anything. You do it yourself. So I am more or less caught up on these three shows. Witch Hat Atelier, which, yes, as everyone has said, looks absolutely amazing. Bug Films is just flexing all over the place. As is everyone else, I'm still concerned about them keeping up this level of detail and animation quality throughout the show, because Bug Films, we saw how Zom 100 got delayed because you guys were unwilling to compromise. So far, we're like 5 or 6 episodes in and it's still looking good, which is good. Justin, do we know if this one's going to be 1 core or 2 core?
It 13 episodes.
Okay, so 1 core. Yeah, because I was looking at some of the imagery in, like, the opening sequence and the ending sequence, and I think they're going to go up to, like, the end of the second test arc, which will be not an ideal place for it to end on, so I'm wondering if this is going to be, like, a secretly split core situation.
I have seen, again, this is all leaks or whatever, and then I think also some theories. I've seen some Witch Hat Atelier fans online. The anime is not going to be quite in order, from what I understand, compared to the manga. So I think there's going to be some switching around at some point. I don't think it's happened yet. I think so far it's been pretty straightforward. But at some point, they're going to switch, I think, something. So obviously, because again, it's only going to be 13 episodes, so will be a natural stopping point.
Yeah, that's the thing, because like the second test isn't like a natural stopping point ending, so it's kind of going to be a cliffhanger unless they really change up how things end there. Even if they switch things around, like we know now that the next episode's probably going to cover like trying to rescue people from a river, and I was pretty sure that the second test happened right after that, even. So they've got enough episodes to do all of that, but yeah, I'm kind of hoping for like a secret split core situation, just so we get even more episodes, but this is just speculation on my point at this part. But yes, am enjoying it. Oh, I do want to quibble with people online who are saying, oh, it's really doing its own thing. It's drawing an incredible amount of imagery straight from the manga. Like, if any of our listeners have not read the manga for this and are watching the anime, if you look at any of the shots and you go, oh, that's particularly well composed, or that's a very artistic looking shot, yeah, that came straight out of the manga. Like, so many of the panels and pages in the manga are so distinctive that I recognize them immediately. Like, they are doing the exact same framing and posing and, the way Shirahama sometimes delves into, like, an Art Nouveau style and stuff like that. So I was actually surprised to see just how much it was taking from the manga, since people online have been acting like it was not doing as much of that. And it's like, I think you guys are not as big fans of the manga as you think you are. I don't think you guys are as nerdy as you could be. Also kind of funny, because people are always like, oh, I hate it when an anime is just using the manga panels as a storyboard and going one-to-one, because we're not going one-to-one here, but like I said, it is drawing an incredible amount just from the framing alone. But anyone who listens to this podcast knows that I am always persnickety about other people's talking about media and stuff like that. And then I also am more or less caught up on 2 other shows. If Justin wants me to keep talking, I went for the 2 shoujo-esque stories. I realize that they are both actually adapted from light novels, so I'm not sure if they technically count as shoujo, but in my heart, they are shoujo. One of them is the observation log of, I think the full title is Observation Log of My Fiance Who Calls Herself Villainous. And then the other one has the much easier to remember title, Always a Catch. Observation Log is a isekai title, but Always a Catch is not. It is, it has similar moments in there to an isekai, but nope, it is just, these characters just live in this world, and that no future knowledge of the story or anything like that is, it is just silly.
Hey, wait, well,
Were you gonna say something,
well, I was
Justin?
gonna be like, well, for Always a Catch, it does have a longer title, but thankfully it is obviously simplified for the anime audience.
I think even the English adaptation of the manga has it simplified, or is that one licensed in
The
English? I
ma
know I've definitely
no no
seen.
the manga
Oh yeah, it definitely
Square
is,
has
yeah.
the manga. The full title is Always a Catch: How I Punched My Way Into Marrying a Prince.
I mean, it's true. She, but punching was involved in getting engaged to a prince, although not in the way that people are expecting. It's not quite in, may I ask for one final thing? It's a different method here. But anyway, enjoying both of these. They're both silly, fluffy affairs. As I think I've said before, neither of them are especially original to me because I have read so many of these, like, shoujo-sei isekai and isekai influenced stories, you know, with villainesses and princes and all of that. But I do think that both of these are very fun examples of their little subgenres. Observation Log has, you know, the character who's a villainess and is trying to fulfill that destiny to keep things on hand, with the more unusual variation that it's mostly told from the point of view of her fiancé, the prince, which is not very common, but I can think of a couple other titles like that. And then again, Always a Catch is kind of one of those odd couple, you know, character gets engagement broken in a kind of a funny way, but things are working out for the best after all.
Somehow, some way, our main character in that in Always a Catch thinks, "You're the villainess. You did this and that. I break up with you, but I am not the person you think I am."
Mimi's just here, like, this is really going to hurt my chances of getting a fiance now because I've just been broken up with and we weren't even engaged, you know? And you do feel for her in that moment. She's right. But anyway, I'm enjoying those two. Definitely recommending them for folks who also enjoy, you know, some lighthearted shoujo fantasy fare. And there's definitely a bunch of other spring shows I'm also trying to get around to, but just. Justin, there's so much anime this year already. I'm still catching up with a couple of winter shows, like Champion Witch. So just, there's just a lot of anime, and I have other things to do in my life other than just watching anime. Like,
And re
I was almost late for
yeah,
this
like,
taping because I was painting a chair, and I am not putting my laptop or my
time
iPad
out,
anywhere near
time out,
a can of
time
paint.
out, time out. You were what?
Painting a chair.
So you're a cousin here painting chairs, or what is the?
Well, I was painting a chair earlier, and you know, it involves like a can of paint like you'd get from the hardware store. And so I'm not going to have my laptop or my iPad or anything like that anywhere near that can of paint because I know that that is just asking for trouble. So you know, I can't always be watching anime. You know, I can't be doing that 24/7. I've got other things to do.
My basic question is, do you normally paint chairs?
Well, since you wanted me to go off topic, I wanted to do this last year, but I live in an apartment, so I'm a little limited on outdoor space I can do things. And so when I wanted to do this last year, the patch of grass I use outside for things like sanding was occupied by the people renovating the pool next door, and they started late and they kept going pretty late, so that wasn't even freed up until like July. And the thing about paint, I'm using like a cabinet paint for these chairs, you know, since that's kind of similar usage, is that you do actually need to paint it within kind of a specific temperature and humidity range. You know, that's when it's going to best adhere, which is like 77 degrees and 50% relative humidity, which is not what the city of DC is in most of the summer. So I'm already kind of limited towards I can only do this in like parts of the spring and parts of the fall, and I just didn't have my stuff together to do it last fall. And also, I'm about to be out of town for like a couple days, which is good because then that'll give time for the paint to cure. Because oh my god, some of this paint takes fucking forever to cure. And so, it is a complicated multi-week process, but unfortunately, the results are in fact worth it.
This
And that's only my one chair. I might get around to painting the other chair someday, but that chair is metal, and we are having a couple of disagreements about how to get the paint to actually adhere to it.
look at this, listeners, get to hear Helen's paint stories. I literally didn't know she's painted like that.
Listen, like you know how I sew and I crochet and I
Yeah, I
knit and
know
I do
all
cosplay
that.
and all of that.
All that.
Yeah, those are not exclusive. I have simply always been a very crafty person. I think I've told you, I was bored one summer when I was a teenager, and my mom was like, "You should just go dye the bed sheets and it'll be the purple color you want." Th this is simply how my life goes.
All right.
Those bed sheets have now lived out their life and have been cut up to use as mock-ups for cosplay.
And I was just gonna move on to me speaking, but then you bring that up, and I'm just like, not the bed sheets, no.
No, I assure you, by this point, the bed sheets were like 15 years old and it had like holes worn into them. Like they were very past their use as bed sheets.
Fine, you've spoken long enough. You didn't obviously not meet my time from last episode, but good enough, I guess. It'll do. So yes, last episode I talked a lot about spring season, and I realized I think maybe either a day or two after the podcast episode we recorded, I'm like, oh, I totally forgot to talk about a kind of Banashi that I also watched at the same time. So yes, the Shonen Jump random tennis only on YouTube for now. Next, actually this upcoming week, Saturday, it's gonna be on Netflix finally. The first two episodes, the English dub has been announced, all that stuff. So that's, I guess, nice. But despite the strange streaming journey, it has been watched, and I'm having a good time with it. It stars Akane, who is following her dad. Dad's really good at Rakugo, and very inspired, loves it. Dad really is going to try to get the, what's really good, this exam, or specifically, he's trying to achieve, like, this, like, one of these, actually, want to make sure I get this totally correct. Because
He's trying to progress up the ranks of being a Rakugo.
essentially,
Ka.
and despite his nerves at the time, he gets into it. Looks like it's really good. The crowd's into it, and it sounds like, I guess, all the others did their best. But there's this one old guy, you know. Let's just say something goes wrong there. It's very tragic. Nobody's speaking to father again. And then we move again to a time skip. We follow Akane, who's just like, I'm gonna actually ace this test. I'm gonna get that old guy, basically. I'm personally having a good time with it. I know Helen has talked about the manga before and has enjoyed what she's read of it. And I just, you know, I just too much stuff to read and watch and everything, so just haven't gotten around to reading it. But I'm having a good time with it. I'm not sure the Rakugo is that quote unquote great. It's just that when you have something like Rakugo Shinju, we watched that before, it's just hard to really compete with that. But we don't really get too much Rakugo like works in general, so I mean it's the obviously high bar, but I mean we're solid for now. I think obviously at some point the show's gonna go into actually just having a Rakugo performance without like any commentary or the background, but that's my hope, expectation maybe. But it still goes to the whole explaining things and everything. I'm like, I mean, I guess we need it, especially for certain stories and everything. But at some point, we just need the Rakugo to just be Rakugo. But I'm having a good time with it. It's pretty good. I'm glad I'm watching it, obviously. So looking forward to obviously watching more. That is shipping all my spring anime. I'm again may pick up maybe one or two more. Unlikely though, because it's just like as Helen mentioned, it's just a packed season. And one other show I wasn't planning on talking about, but it's been picking up recently, so I'm like, I gotta talk about it. Is a Sword Art Undertaker Pretty Cure. Obviously, years ago when Crunchyroll finally got started streaming Pretty Cures, I've been trying to watch most of it, and I've had fun with it, but I can't say I've like embraced it like I had hoped. But right now, Star Predator is on a good run right now. It's really good. It's
We finally got what Justin needed in a magical girl show. Detectives.
Yeah, I guess it involved detectives, but I think the one twist, not really a spoiler, because it's kind of like just been put out there. They had the one Predator on the other side right now. Why are you evil? Quote unquote evil. Why is this the case?
Because she looks cool, and you gotta always have the Phantom Thief. I've not watched Star Detective Predator yet, but it is on my list, so I've looked at the character
see,
designs. Yeah,
you see the Archive Shadow, and what's her deal? Why are you like this? What's with this book? What's about time? And also, I think the fact that it's set in, like, what, 1999 or 98, whatever it's set, that kind of helps, too, because there's only certain conveniences you can only have at this particular time period. I think that plays into it also, so that helps. So
the excuse of nobody having cell phones or the internet.
Right? That does actually make things a little workable. So yes, I think the mystery behind that, and I think that makes it work so, it's working so well right now. It's very engaging right now. It's like every normally, like, sometimes I'll write, like, either whole Pirker up to, like, either, like, the day before or, like, during the week. But when it comes on Saturdays, I gotta watch the episode. And it comes out like 9:00 p.m. Eastern time. So,
because of Japan, it's your Sunday morning cartoon.
Yeah. So yes, really good run right now. Having a great time with it. Yeah, definitely picking. Obviously, we know it's gonna be one for a long time, for a year. So it's gonna be more moments. So I'm hoping, obviously, things can continue to be as good as it is. So having a great time.
All right, and now it's time for a bit of a mood shift. Justin, I think you've been following this one more than I have. We're talking about how the project for Let Me Fix You, Yuri Dojin manga adaptation, is now in limbo because there's been allegations of the CEO grooming somebody, and then the accuser took it back. And
yeah, there's a lot going on here. So
Justin, let's bring us up.
And even if I bring everybody up to speed, I would recommend, I'm going to leave two articles, the Anime Trending article and the Anime News Network article, because it's evolved since its first initial reporting, where Mariko on Twitter made, obviously, allegations against Federico.
And this person who made the allegations, were they an animator on it? Or?
I don't think it was made clear. They,
were they, like, did they know the person, like, outside of work?
I assume they knew them.
Or?
Funny enough, I don't think it was ever really mentioned. Either way, I think for time purposes, I'm just going to say they obviously knew each other over a period of time. Maybe it was work-related. But yes, the main point is Mariko made the allegation on Twitter about grooming from particularly Federico Antonio Russo, who I'm going to just keeps it as far, which was also used in some of these articles. Obviously, the details, I was going to look at all the details, but it was pretty severe enough to where lots of people on Twitter saw it, and they quickly disavowed them, or took the task far and his actions. What then ended up happening was A&M put their article, because they ended up reaching out to Far, who at the time was basically Buta Productions, who made statements suggesting that they were going to look into defamation and legal counsel and everything. And then I think the next day after, Mariko did a retraction. And I think the reason was because I think this is taking place in Italy, and Italy has certain defamation type of laws, so you have to be really careful about everything. But even then, like, it seemed pretty, from just even like Anand's news publisher CEO, Tempest, aka Christopher McDonald, he obviously has to err on the side of caution just to the nature of legal and everything, but it was looking pretty suspect for Far. That is 100% for sure. So we have a situation where,
so you're saying suspect as in,
yeah, probably
looking suspect that somebody actually suspect as in this was fake.
Correct. Yeah, it's not looking good for Far. And then you obviously see not just people on Twitter, animators and everybody just taking him to task, but then we also have the former Buddha Production staff members who currently are calling themselves Ponte Blue, an informal entity for now, who has taken a test and obviously said that they've disassociated from him. But now I guess the other issue now is we have to Let Me Fix You short Yuri anime, which is planned for this month. After review of the situation, they decided to delay the short anime from this May release to June, to mid-June. But any future plans that for the anime has not been essentially indefinitely shelved, because right now they don't have a studio. At this point, they have stuff that is ready, but obviously I guess things need to be fixed and everything, and I guess at the time this is what they can work with. But any future plans for the anime or anything for the series is in limbo, because it's got to go through a whole bunch of things right now, especially legal wise. So yeah, that's again, this is a very condensed version of a situation that's just evolved from what was initially reported. Excuse me. So yeah, it sounds like again we have a couple people taking the test. So far has a lot of work to do to prove if any of these allegations are false. Good luck.
You mean if any of the allegations are true?
Sorry, true. Good luck. There's enough statements out there from a couple of organizations. Again, for Foods Productions, they're not sticking with this or him moving forward. Right now, at this point, they just have to try to fulfill the obligations, which is why they're trying to stay together. So, yes, this will obviously not be the first time we'll hear about this. We'll obviously hear more about this moving forward, but this is what we have for now. And, yeah, just obviously hoping for the best for the victim. It's again, seems like what was reported was very, very bad. And in the end, we'll see if even more people will come forward, if this has been an ongoing thing. We'll just have to see.
Yeah, since one thing we've noticed over the years is that if somebody has, in fact, you know, sexually assaulted someone, usually it's more than one victim. So we will just see. On a completely different note, there is simply no way to transition between either of these. So Kadokawa has announced that it's established a new company named Kadokawa Retail Ventures to take over the North American retail business from its Kadokawa World Entertainment Company. So the company is specifically going to take over the management of manga spot bookstores from Kadokawa World Entertainment. There are 10 of those in the U.S. They opened the first one in New York back in October 2023. So not too many details yet about what will change about these bookstores with Kadokawa taking over more. I was excited because for once one of them is in my rough neighborhood. There's one in Towson, Maryland, which is a bit north of Baltimore. So yeah, it's like an hour's drive away from me, but in this day and age, that's kind of close. So yeah, we'll see how that goes.
The Kadokawa takeover in North America is happening. It is happening. What? This I think is kind of cool. I didn't even realize this had been announced before, but the American stage musical adaptation of Moko Ayano's Memories of a Marvelous Gentleman, the manga, is going to premiere for the general public in my city, New York City. Off-Broadway.
I mean, of course it'd be New York.
Off-Broadway this fall. It's going to play at the Night Egg, a new theater in Manhattan's Chelsea neighborhood that is named after the French brothel in the manga. Okay.
Actually, I wonder if it's off-Broadway, since apparently the distinction between Broadway and off-Broadway is the size of the venue.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I assume it's off-Broadway, like, literally. So, because I think most...
I had fun one time. I was looking at the size of, like, Broadway stages, and I realized that even the biggest stage on Broadway is like smaller than the Kennedy Center in DC. And I was like, oh, come on, what are you guys making such a big fuss over now? Like, all y'all's theaters are small.
So apparently, this was actually announced in 2020, and I'm like, I don't remember hearing about this in 2020. What this kid announced then?
Listen, there was a lot going on in 2020.
I don't care. The heck? 6 years ago, what the heck? But yes, it's gonna, so Naturally, we'll get more information and we'll obviously mention it when we get more. I mean, it seemed pretty straightforward, but we'll get obviously dates exactly when it's going to air in the fall. And I don't know if I mean, I'll make an attempt and see if I can rope some people to go and come in with me, but I mean, something like this happened. A manga, I've never, this is, I can't think of any manga that's had this happen anywhere, so.
Death Note the musical.
So I also, it's also weird news, but also the cool weird news, not the weird, because I'm just this.
The weird part of Death Note the musical is that it was adapted in English by some Broadway folks, yet it has not actually been in the US. It's had a run in London, but never in the US. It was like created in English and then like translated back into, I think, both Korean and Japanese.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, so that is actually, in fact, weird. But yeah, I'm just not a big Moyoko Ono fan, so I'm not as interested in what she
I'm not
does,
really, I'm not
unfortunately.
really, I don't think I read too many by her. I think one I read, I was like, I know Vertigo released it. It was okay. That's what I remember.
I mean, if more Sugar Sugar Rune came out here, yeah, I'd read it, but I'm not digging up like those old Kodansha volumes at this point.
It was, yeah, Vertigo, I think, right?
No, wait, no, not Kodansha, Del Rey. I think it was Del Rey.
Wow, that's going even further back. Okay. But even though I'm not really like it's just something unusual to me, like I feel like I gotta just like go and stop by. Hope, and then I would like, hey, the actors will do a great job adapting it, hopefully. So, hey, I'll take my
Yeah,
chances.
admittedly, if this was in DC, I'd be down to see it since at least half of the things I see in DC for theatrically are sounds weird, I'm in, or sounds gay, I'm in. So, or sounds gay and weird, I'm in. Sometimes they overlap.
There you go.
All right, it is time for our hiatuses and such. We only have one title returning from hiatus, the No Game, No Life Chapter 2 manga, which I believe this one is being called Eastern Union, is resuming after 16 months. So the last chapter was published in December 2024, which was also a very different time. And we've got a bunch of things going on break. We have My First Girlfriend is a Gal, which is going to be going on hiatus due to the creator's paternity leave. It's slated to return in the September issue, which ships in late July. I'm really confused how that is, how Monthly Shonen Ace is like dating their issues, but okay. Apparently, this is his first hiatus for the manga after 10 years. creator Meguru Ueno personally posted on Saturday to clarify that he is a man and on paternity leave, as Monthly Shonen Ace's initial post had caused some fans to assume that he is a woman. You know, men can take paternity leave as well, but I can understand why people would be
And
initially confused about that.
I guess depending on how they worded it, yeah, maybe you have to go clarify.
Yeah. Yeah. Is on baby leave. Oh my god, they gave birth. No, their wife gave birth.
We have in the June issue of Hakusensha's monthly magazine, they announced that Kimiko Saiki's Kakegurui Shoujo is going on break, so there was no new chapter. Due to Saiki's health, as we talked about either last episode or a few episodes ago, she had,
I think it was a few episodes
yeah,
ago.
she had attended a music festival and unfortunately somebody died and then she got hit essentially and got hurt and hurt her arm. I know she was doing some testing too, so at the time I don't think she
To be clear, Justin said dived, not died.
died. Although I
Just to
say
be clear.
dive, okay, I thought I said dive.
I think you might have, but we're just gonna make it clear. Nobody died at the music festival. Someone just did some very unauthorized crowd surfing.
Yeah, something that he shouldn't have done, and obviously Saiki got hurt. And at the time, I don't think she announced that there was going to be any change in the schedule. She was going to keep drawing, but obviously things changed since then, and now she needs to break. So again, hoping really that everything's well with her.
Also taking a break is the Fragrant Flower Blooms with Dignity. It's going to be taking a 3 week break since the author's schedule is just busy. They're busy with preparations for the manga and other projects, so I don't know. Sounds like a good reason to take a break to me. Also going on break is Dead Rock, which is a manga I don't recognize, but it's by Hiro Mashima. It is going on hiatus until the winter, at which point it's going to return with a new arc.
And now we unfortunately transition over to some of the deaths that's happened this past few weeks. And I didn't think I would put Ted Turner in my in an anime podcast, but indirectly, he's one of the reasons why anime is what it is. So he passed away at 87 after a prolonged battle with Lewy body dementia. That for those in sports, you kind of know him as the former owner of the Atlanta Braves, and for WWE, he was very much involved in WW. I'm sorry, WCW. I should be more clear. Outside of sports, he was the founder of CNN and the Turner Network. So this also included Cartoon Network, TNT, and TCM. He founded Cartoon Network in 1991 after purchasing Hanna-Barbera, which obviously is the Cartoon Channel. And obviously, we eventually had Toonami. We then also eventually had Adult Swim. So yes, this man was one of the reasons why anime eventually was a big thing. So yeah, from that perspective, this is obviously a significant loss. But it's obviously, if you go on Twitter, you obviously note some of his impact in other areas in sports, obviously in political and politics and everything. So it was obviously a tough loss for sure in that respect.
I saw some people pointing out that prior to Turner Classic Movies being started, when he and some other moguls started buying up like these older archives of movies, they would be re-showing them on TV, but they would be like maybe colorizing an old black and white film and stuff like that. And this was frustrating and freaking out people so much that things like the Library of Congress's National Film Registry were started as a direct result of that. As a, oh no, we need a way to preserve these in the original format, otherwise we're only going to have the colorized version of a movie that was intentionally shot in black and white. Which I can understand. And I guess he saw the error of his ways with the whole Turner Classic Movies thing.
Yeah, it sounds like, yeah, I guess you learned a lot from that negative experience and say, okay, I'm going to do much better things with this.
You know, when people form a whole ass organization in response to your actions, usually that means you have done something wrong. Not always, but usually. Let's see, and another death to report on. Manga author Yosuke Tamamori died on April 10th at the age of 84. He made his
74,
debut
74,
with.
74.
Sorry, 74. He made his debut with the Popo Krolis story. Manga and published the let's see he this was published in the manga in the magazine hang on yeah published in the magazine Dakusei and Pafu in 1978 to 79 before serializing it in Asahi Shogakusei Shimbun from 1981 to 1986. It was republished by Popular Publishing in 2003. Not a creator whose name I'm familiar with. I'm wondering if none of his works ever came out in English.
He's actually, I think, more known in the video game space from what I think I saw on here. Let me make sure. Okay, yeah, XC Games did do a video game to kind of celebrate the manga adaptation. So yeah, that was one thing. But yeah, I think any of his works came over to the U.S. aside from that. Let's see. The animation studio Ufotable announced that art director Kazuo Yebisawa died April 14th. This was announced a few weeks ago. Obviously, mostly as a background artist and art director, but naturally he's involved in a lot of anime. Not gonna get to all of them, but your famous stuff like Demon Slayer, Fate Zero, and then he was like Today's Menu for Emilia Family. He was very involved in that. Obviously, if you're in the industry that long, you're very skilled and obviously something that people relied on. So, needless to say, it's just a really tough loss in the industry for sure.
Quite a few obituaries to report on this week. Anime studio Nagomi revealed that director and writer Tatsuo Sato died of liver failure on April 24th at the age of 61. Studio Nagomi added that he'd been undergoing medical treatment for some time before his death, and his family has already had a private funeral. He was the director of things like Martin's successor Nadeshiko, Stiliva, The Flower of Rinnai, Helk, Ninja Scroll TV series, writer and director for things like Bodacious Space Pirates, and creator essentially of like Shingu's Secret of the Stellar Wars. The note here says it was based on his original story and he wrote the scripts for every episode and also directed the anime. Yeah, I would call that essentially the
Yeah.
creator. Yeah, so a bunch of older titles in there, but Helk was only last year, I think, so,
I think it was a few years ago for Hulk. Not like that long, not last year, but I think a few years ago.
I'm gonna go Google
Yeah,
it real
Google
fast
it.
because we have the
I think
internet.
it was a few years ago for Hulk. This is how time just keeps moving fast. It's just like, oh, that happened last year. No.
Oh yeah, you're right. It was July to December 2023. You were right. But anyway, so seems like he was definitely active up until his death, so that's a
No, it is a
shame.
shame, and then obviously Nadesco's been one of the older titles that I know people liked a lot. And I remember it was, I think it was on,
Bodacious Space Pirates was very
that was the only
fun.
one I was at, definitely people liked too. But I just know Nadesco.
Had a great opening song, now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, I just know that Nadesco, I think that also aired on Toonami. I know it was on TV at one point. American, or was it? Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was on American TV at one point. So yeah, it was obviously known for that, and obviously longtime person in the industry. And once again, as Helen said, active. So yes, yeah, it's obviously another really tough loss, and it sounds like he's been dealing with this for some time. So hope he's, yeah.
Yeah, liver failure doesn't tend to be sudden onset.
So yeah, just really unfortunate in that respect. And to kind of close out the final the obituary section here, ring author Koji Suzuki passed away well, at the hospital at 68. Not reported the cause of death. Just know that he just passed at the hospital. Needless to say, the ring has just been very influential for many things since the novel came out eons ago. Obviously, we had the Ringu films, which again took that off to another stratosphere. So many copycats.
The one that everyone talks about in the US, that was an English version of it,
There were
right?
two versions of it. Obviously, the Japanese version, but then we got an English version of it that got made.
Yeah, 'cause I remember like everyone talking about that when I was in high school, and so I only found out recently that it was like Japanese, and I was like, I don't think my classmates were watching
No,
a
they were not.
Japanese movie. I think they were watching an American version of
Yeah.
this.
So yeah, as I said, there was just so many like numerous versions of that. But then you also spoofs, the manga spoofs of it, just live action versions of it, I believe. And then obviously they're more than just the ring, just obviously very much in the horror and everything. So obviously one of the more influential creators of this time or our time, and now he's gone. My sister could always say his family and friends. At 68, still pretty tough loss, really.
Yeah, definitely could have written more, if he hadn't passed away at that point, but yeah, it's a shame. All right, so we're gonna move on now to licenses. Justin, I don't know how much you're checking like the engagement for the OESG's posts on Blue Sky,
She
but
said, "Hold on, hold on,
folks were
hold,
going
hold on,
nuts over
hold up." She
this.
says this, but I have a link right to the Blue Sky link in the script.
Well, I know that you're posting things, but I don't know how often you're checking on to see like how many retweets or, other notifications you're getting there. But my feed was over the moon for this. Independent book publisher Uncivilized Books has announced that they are launching a new manga imprint, Mangalith, and are kicking it off with the legendary shoujo series Hideki Mizuno's Fire, which they are scheduling for release in October as a single chonky
It
omnibus at like 700 or 800
was like, no,
pages.
it's like 896, almost 900 pages.
Yeah, and it's a paperback too. It's not hardcover. I am concerned for the future spine of my book because, yeah, I'm going to be ordering this since this is Not a very well-known shoujo manga in the US, but it's definitely one of those influential 70s ones. I have a friend who's talked about it before in panels, and I was always like, oh, this sounds awesome. I'm so sad I can't read it. And now it's like, hell yeah, let's go! And we'll just figure out a way to reinforce the spine later on.
Worry about that later. Let's get this now.
Yeah.
No, it blew up on Twitter too. So yeah, it was
Oh, good. People on Twitter might still have
like
taste.
it was yeah, just out of nowhere nature of it, and you obviously, with it being a classic series like this, most publishers aren't really able or willing to license it nowadays. So for a new imprint to just kick off with that, that's pretty impressive, and much gotta throw respect for that.
It's a very baller move.
I'm curious if it's good. I guess it's just obviously it's an independent publisher, so it probably would just be locked to their site only. But I'm curious if it's gonna go on other retailers. But I will obviously try to pre-order it myself on Civilization Books' site, because again, very interesting series to get nowadays. Hope the translation and everything is gonna be nice and as best as possible. That's all we can really hope for. Now onto some more traditional licenses that we've gotten over the past couple of years, especially from our friends at Seven Seas. What? Who?
They're our
They're
friends? I didn't realize
our
that
friends, I
part.
guess. I don't know. So yeah, they had the usual one day, Wonderful Wednesdays announcements. Let me see if I can actually pronounce them without messing up. No pressure or anything. Koto Nozomi and Omine's The Villainous Nobody's Way to Find a MILF Heroines. That definitely sounds like a ghost ship title, doesn't it? Ghost ship, right? Yeah, I think it does. Unity Kong and Tunonaku's, let me see if I can pronounce it better. Tunonigaus. I think that's a little better. I Will Fall in Love with Azami Yako If It Kills Me. Central Daguma's My Name is Miene, Tales of a Blind Kitten. Chikahango's As Fish to Water, Where the Forest Meets the Sea. Nigaki Babeppu's And They Were Roommates. By the way,
Oh my
this is a
God.
BL title, I think. Norio Sakurai and Haika Nanasaka's Ayumu Sa. Oh, whoa. I think I messed up here. In fact, I did. I missed. Oh, okay. I see what I did. I copied incorrectly. All right. Noriko Sakurai and Haika Nanasaka's The Dangers in My Heart, The Romantic Comedy Won't Start. Ayumu Sato, Yumi Shirase, and Masato Musumi's Record of Chrono's War. Apparently, I'm Only the Strongest in Bed.
Well, that's also got to be a ghost ship title.
Definitely sounds like Ghost Ship title, doesn't it? And funny enough, I thought this kind of reminded me of one title that Ghost Ship already had that had Strongest in Bed. I didn't feel like looking exactly, but there was one similar title, Night Battles, in something like that. So it's like, oh, we got this parent or whatever, a sequel or sibling, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, when I saw that at first, I thought it was like some sort of like Record of the Lotus Whore like ripoff. But no, totally different.
Yuki Fumino's The Horizon Will Soon Shine, Taki Akitoki's Cheese Wing Life, Eiko Nagiki Bunga and Retakes The Clingy New Hire Keeps Asking Me Out, Hisumi and Doyo's A Serious Error in Chihaya-chan's Reputation. This is going to be Airship Digital. And same for this title. Kotaro Ishiki and Parum's Villager A wants to save the villainous no matter what. Good luck, Villager A. Good luck, you non-player character, you. We also have more Siren audiobooks. So, Natsumi Shiromi's I Wish I Could Meet You Again on the Hill Where That Flower Blooms, narrated by Mirai. Yu Omiya's My Girlfriend Cheated on Me, and Now My Flirty Underclassmen Won't Leave Me Alone, also narrated by David Lee Hung. Jiraigen's Where a Clueless First-Person Shooter Player Falls Into Another World, narrated by Mark Sandolin, and Toby Ronald's Betrothed to My Sister's Ex, narrated by Jennifer Sunbell. All right, a couple errors here and there, but mostly clean. I'll do better next time.
And then we only have two other licenses. So, Crossed Hearts announced that it has licensed Mitomo Sasako's Octopiece. I do not believe that this is an octopus version of One Piece, but if I'm incorrect, somebody let me know. And Tokyopop has launched a new imprint for kids, and so they're going to move their Alice in the Kyoto Forest manga over to this imprint.
And I would, yeah,
So
go ahead.
no real change to how that one's being published aside from maybe like a difference on the spine or something like
Yeah, I would
that.
guess future editions will have the kids imprint on it. And then I think there might be one more. I think there was a title they announced earlier this year that could probably fit their kids lineup. But yeah, I guess they're going to be aggressively saying, or aggressively licensing more manga for kids. I know they're out there in Japan. I know they're out there. All right, Helen, it's time to move on to some of the streaming news that's happened in the past few weeks. The FBI.
Yeah, you're gonna have to explain this part.
The FBI is coming for Conan, Helen. It's over. That little kid's finally getting arrested by the FBI. Okay, that's obviously not really the case. So yes, Detective Conan Collection is back. We have Collection 3 that's TMS announced, and this time it's the FBI. It's called FBI Intervention. This is basically the FBI who's also trying to get capture the Black Organization and stop them. But this is where Conan gets to learn about them over time. Obviously, this came out May 1st, and I've already watched them all. I think I'll talk about the next episode. I didn't want to talk about this episode. I'm also watching the Japanese sub edition, so maybe by then I'll finish watching that all over again. But I have finished the dub of it. I was actually wondering again when they would do another collection, because my theory or my guess would there be at least a total of four. It's just at some point I think I need to do like the excuse me. excuse me again. I'm thinking they're gonna do like some of the more notable episodes that aren't quite related to Conan. But they're still going to do a few more main ones. And this is, I guess, another main one where obviously Conan is not alone in terms of what or who's trying to combat the Black Organization. So FBI is here. So we're getting their initial run here. I assume they're going to finish up the next part of it in the summer at some point. They said they got more announcements this month. So we'll see what they say. So yes, more Conan. Yay. And they also announced, they also launched a Twitter account. Yay. Oh, sorry, actually, it's more specific, an English Twitter account.
Let's see. I could have sworn Viz had this back in the day, but G-Kids announced that it has acquired the North American rights to screen the new 4K remaster of Taiyo Matsumoto's Tekken Creed, the film of the manga. And they're going to be showing this for the 20th anniversary on May 31st and June 1st. Tickets available now. Let's see. We talked last time around about the Magical Girl anime, Lulu to Lily anime, streaming on YouTube, kind of surprisingly. And now it's streaming on Tubi as well. Justin has a note in the script asking if this is the first time Tubi's gotten an ongoing anime. And I swear to God, I feel like Tubi has had simulcasts before, but back in, like, 2014. I feel like it has happened, but it's been a long time.
Which is why, what the heck, what is happening here? What is this, what is happening in anime streaming universe, Helen? What is happening?
Listen, apparently they got turned down by other folks. They were like, well, fine, then we'll put it out ourselves. And, you know, we know that Tubi will accept, you know, not quite everything, but if you can prove that you theoretically own the rights to Tai Chi Chasers, you know, they're not going to say no, so.
Tai Chi Chasers.
Listen, that's what I'm going to be that's what I'm going to be associating Tubi with for a little while.
Ocean Vale announced, I think this past week, or no, a few weeks ago, actually. They're going to stream the Dokusei Classmates anime film. I think there's only two seasons of Oreimo. Imo Toga Konani Kawaii Wake Ganai. I don't think there's any other season.
Isn't that the old My Little Sister Can't Be This Cute one?
That's that one.
The one that people swore wasn't incest, and yet the way it ended.
Yeah, I believe, yeah. They believe so, yeah. And from that same author, Ero Manga Sensei. I think it's already either these shows are already on the service or they're going to be on the service this month. One or the other. I don't know. I think it was on the script. I mean, I think it was on the ANN listing, but I just noted that it's happening this month. So go check Ocean Vale now if you want to watch incest, the anime. What? Meanwhile,
classmates is not incest, to be clear.
Well, I was really just talking about Oriemo.
Some of these mangaka have standards.
I was talking about Oriemo, but yes, to Helen's point, I don't think Yokusei has any of that. It's just boys loving each other
in very intimate ways.
Ultra also added another name that I am not saying ever in public. Iya no kao sare nagata opansu mitsute morai ore iya na kao sare nagata opa. Did I just wait? Oh, wait, is it really this long? What is Anna doing here? I just copy and pasting.
Did they not provide an English translation of this title?
There actually was, but I'm not saying it in public. That is the whole main point.
So that one's even worse.
It just is more. It's technically. It's just show me your underwear. That's basically what it is. But I just decided to be a little fun a little bit just by saying, like, you're not saying this. You're not saying that whole name in public, or people are just going to look at you funny. They're going to do it. They're going to judge you. They're going to stare at you.
But you
and then maybe call the cops.
You live in New York, Justin. I thought New Yorkers were famously hard to, you know, face.
They're going
to
also call the cops. Because why would you say that out in public? Why would you go to your local pizza joint, be like, I'm watching this anime called Disgusted Panties thing. Why would you do that? Why? I don't know why. Did you get paid for it? Did somebody pay you to do it? I hope somebody paid you to do it, because it better be worth... It's going to have to bail you out when they put you in jail. You're getting bailout money, so there you go.
Oh, you guys still have cash bail here?
I don't know.
We got rid of cash bail in, like, the 90s. Of course, certain people want us to bring back cash bail because they are assets. But anyway,
yes. Oceanville has it all. Your noble stuff and animated that we have people want to show their panties. What? Let's move on, Helen. It's time to move on to the last bit of streaming news. Where I can't believe it. Crunchyroll makes so many non-announcements of stuff that, like, okay, I just ignore it or whatever. That's cool. That's nice. But they finally made an announcement that I'm like, oh, snap. I don't believe it. It's actually something I'm interested in. What the heck? So eons ago, I watched this anime called Ginga E! Kickoff. Nobody picked it up at the resort to fan subs, downloads, all that stuff eons ago. And
it was soccer.
Yes. Now it's back. As Galaxy Kickoff, this football anime is now on Crunchyroll. And you know what's funny, Helen? I was just going to watch...
You don't even want to watch it now?
I just want to watch the first episode, and I ended up watching like five episodes instead.
Wait, how is that funny? That's how you normally operate.
No, I was just going to just watch it, like, get on my Crunchyroll player, and eventually I'll just like watch it. And I'm like, no, I wasn't supposed to watch this much. Stop. Stop! But it just reminded me of that time back when I was like, wow, it's actually really good anime. Why is no way I picked it up? I know it's the market as a kid's show, but no, it's really good. Watch it, please. It's really fun. Really good stuff. I had a great time with it. And I'm glad it's back. Or I'm glad I can watch it again in a legal manner. Maybe at some point in the summer, or before this month is over, I'll talk more about it when I finish watching it over again.
I mean, heck, if you really want to talk about sports anime, it's not like we don't know some friends who do a whole sports anime podcast.
Yeah, get Corey to watch Galaxy Kickoff for me, Helen. Do a good job with that.
Oh, I will!
Anyways, I have bad news, Helen. It is 6 o'clock.
I mean, that's only bad news for you. I knew this was going to happen.
Let's go to the weird news, Helen, and... I mean, I guess I have to start with this one too, because I put it here and I'm like, in a vacuum, it's not really.
You do have more emotional attachment.
It's
to this
not
one
really
than I do.
Weird. It's just the fact that I can't believe they're doing this again. They just had the GTO live action 1998. Okay, I can't remember which was 96, 97, 98. I'm not sure. I can't remember. It was a long time ago. But they had an old version of this eons ago, like a couple years ago, and they did a special of that, I think 2 years ago.
And by special, do we mean like they re-aired
they did like
new.
A TV special, so it was something new. They had to put like the original Onizuka for that one, the original Fuyutsuki for that one. it was like a whole thing. Like, oh man, I wish somebody could pick it up in America. but of course nobody's we're not cool like that. And also, from what I understand, live action dramas are really expensive, so it's like, oh God, nobody's picking that up. But anyways, GTO live action is back again, but this time it's a 2012 cast. It's a 2012 version. So we have the Onizuka of Akira from Exile. He's back, and they're gonna do, I guess, another live action TV series this July. I am stun locked. I think I said, like, because I used to, hell, I used to actually write about the drama years ago. I don't know if it's somewhere out on the internet, but I did write about it because a big Onizuka GTO fan. I still kind of am. It's just that whenever I read or watch it, I just get really into it because about this guy. Just he used to be a punk, but he just teaches these kids how to actually live their life. And I get really into
Yes, I do know the premise of
it.
GTO. I saw a couple episodes of the anime back in anime club in college.
They get me into it. But yes, the drama is back. I am stunned it's back, but then again, I guess I'm also not surprised at the same time, because I know that series was really popular in Japan, so. But still, it's just been so long ago. Like, they did like these Taiwan, they did a special like in Taiwan eons ago, but that was a while ago. So I'm just surprised it's back now. But will I be able to watch it? Somebody make it available for me officially, please. Just do it somehow. I will pay you. Ah, my stomach. Ah, it's killing me right now. No, for real. Discotheque. You have your neon lights, right? Nights, lights, whatever. Lights is GTO somehow. You brought over that silly, what was it? That one sister, whatever anime or live action. Why can't you bring this over?
All right, so while Justin is pleading with various companies to license the things he wants, Eldo Yoshimizu's Ryoko manga gets a new arc after 16 years. Torchweb, which is the manga platform, reveals that the writing took 4 years. I don't know why it's all taken this long, but yeah, that's why it's in weird
No,
news, because it's taken
it's taking
so
so long,
long.
and again, these manga that supposedly end, don't end. What is the point of an ending? You're not American comics. End.
Justin coming up with like the worst insult he can think of.
Right, you gotta take this one though. You got this one. You brought this up to me, and I was like, I don't know. I think we have Sam's Word News. I'm not too sure about this, but you know what? The Word News is kind of light this week, so I threw it in here anyways.
I know that we have seen variations on this story before, but it's funny every time it happens. Man hides inside Best Buy in Pasadena, California overnight, so after closing ahead of a Pokemon card release. Employees were monitoring a live feed from inside the shop when they noticed the man in there. This local NBC4 Los Angeles article has what I think is video of, like, not the riot police, but like, like a SWAT team preparing to go in because who knows what someone is doing in there. And yeah, apparently he wanted to make sure he was definitely going to get the Pokemon cards the next day. He wasn't even like trying to steal them or anything. Apparently, a group of Pokemon fans had camped outside the store in anticipation of the sale of new cards, like sensible people. And one person remarked to the news, "I was just here for some Pokemon drop, but I went to the restroom. Not even 15 minutes, and there's cops everywhere." America.
This is over Pokemon cards, Ellen. What is wrong with us? What is wrong with us Americans, Ellen?
Quite a few things. I feel like if we had universal health insurance, that might fix us.
By the way, by the way, for all our listeners, we were recording this on Mother's Day, so happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. Ha! So,
I swear to God, Justin does in fact love his mother.
yes, you would think that when you buy something called the Lance of Long God, oh, I can't even say this name, Longinus, Longinus. Well, okay, the point is, from Evangelion, you have something that a power like that, or basically a weapon, or really just a thing that you just have. you would think you would just use it for cosplay things and just to admire and everything, and apparently you can...
Well, some people do like to, you know, hang their things up on the wall, you know, to admire, but apparently that is an invitation to some people.
Like somebody's mother, who decided to hang clothes on the lands of Longinus, and... I don't know, Helen, that seems like a little... I can see why you're the Twitter user said mom. I can see why.
I do think it's pretty funny, although I do sympathize since, like... Okay, so my very first semester of college, it rained a ton. I kid you not, it rained every day for 2 weeks, and it rained 3 days continuously. I was finding everywhere in my dorm room I could put, like, my pants and, like, my jackets up to dry because everything was getting wet. So if I had seen, like, this random anime-looking spear on the wall and I needed to hang something up to dry, yeah, I might have done it too.
I have no words. No words whatsoever.
Well, I mean, did you stay in a dorm in college?
For 2 years, yeah.
Okay. You should understand then, no. Justin.
I will never understand somebody taking somebody's lance along in us and using that to hold up clothes. I will never understand. I think I'm too weep-pilled, I think. I think that's probably why.
And we have more stories that Justin has labeled with Happy Mother's Day.
You gotta laugh out loud, Helen. You gotta laugh out loud.
I am laughing! I also sent this one to Justin. Via 404 Media, there was some people in the Yu-Gi-Oh! Trading card community who were surprised that someone was selling all of these uncut sheets of cards, where obviously when you print out trading cards, you print them out as like a giant sheet of things and then you cut them down to size. And apparently sometimes they do actually give these out as like rewards and tournaments, like a little 3x3 square of cards. But someone was selling like these entire sheets for like $1,000 online, and the people were like, if this is legit, this is a really good price. And so people were trying to figure out where it came from. His mom got in the comments and started fighting with people who were like questioning these things, and so people were able to look at her Facebook account and see that she owned like a scrap business in a town in Texas, and that, oh, there's a printer nearby, he must be getting them out of the dumpster there. So, go look at the story on 404 Media. It's pretty funny. And I keep wondering, like, is his mom a sock puppet? Like, every time this comes up that, you know, people are, like, fighting about stuff online and their mom gets in, you know, like this, Tai Chi Chasers, Elon Musk, I'm like, is this actually your mother or is this a sock puppet?
Okay, also, to be clear, for the Tai Chi Chasers one, her mom was trying to stop the guy. She was trying to stop him.
Okay, so that does mean she is less likely that she was a sock puppet, then.
Happy Mother's Day, indeed. Got your mom fighting for you. Like,
you've got your mom fighting your battles online.
And in final bit of weird news, I guess eBay is in dire straits or whatever. I guess people...
No, it's not, actually.
People want to buy them or do something with them. So I guess if you're an interesting company, you go and purchase them. But I don't think GameStop was a thing that, or company that you would think would want to publish eBay. First of all, how are they even able to do it? All right, what's been put out there. So GameStop announced a few weeks ago, last week, they submitted a non-binding proposal to acquire 100% of eBay at US $125 per share in cash and common stock of 50% each with full shareholder election rights. That's nice.
How are you even going to get that money,
yes,
eBay?
That's what I am.
How are you even going to get that money?
I am curious how GameStop is doing this, considering they have to close so many stores over the past couple of years. Like, every time I hear news about GameStop, it's just usually like, where are the games at? Where are the video games at? Why are you closing your stores here? Like, I remember I remember is like Reggie Fils-Aimone, who used to work at Nintendo years ago, was like a, I think an advisor or something like that for them. Excuse me. He was advisor for them for a couple of years. Then he left. Just straight up, just like, okay, I guess I'm out of here. And I have still not heard anything good about GameStop since, like, nothing good. So how are they able to want to buy eBay? I have no clue. This is a mystifying one to me. I am mystified.
Yeah, I did see a video online and it was talking about this a little bit and how I forget the guy's actual name, but it was the guy who was portrayed by Christian Bale in The Big Short, who was like doing these interviews on the news media talking about it's going to be 50% cash, 50% stock, and the news reporters are like, "So where are you guys getting the cash?" He's like, "You don't understand. It's 50% cash, 50% stock." But where are you getting the cash for that 50%? Since eBay is worth like, God, like at least three times as much as GameStop. So, yeah, this is absolute lunacy, and I would be really scared if GameStop took over eBay because that would essentially kill off eBay, and that would not be
Yeah,
fun.
especially since in from anime and manga perspective, yeah, that can't be good for that, so
I mean, I just go on there to like buy like used shoes and stuff like that for cosplay, and I respect having it as an option for those things. Listen, shoes are expensive.
I mean, I believe you. I'm not disputing that either. I'm not disputing that at all.
All right, Justin, we are slightly past 6 o'clock, but I think we have done it. I think we have made it to the end of another podcast.
Somehow, some way, and paint was somehow involved in this. Thank you, Helen, for revealing your painting influences and everything. Thank you.
Listen, once this is done, I'm going to go check and see if I need another coat because I am almost out of this primer and I want to use up this can so I can get rid of it.
All right, where can we find you on the interwebs, Helen?
Thought you were about to say, like, where can you find me? And it's like clearly in my kitchen painting. But other than that, when I am online, you can find me on Blue Sky at Wandering Dreamer. And you can find the other podcast I co-host under the name Manga in Your Ears on all of your podcast listening services. On Blue Sky, we are bundled together under the Taiku Podcast umbrella. That is TAIIKU Podcast. And that is also the name of the website where we put everything up in case Blue Sky is like throwing a fit like it was doing the other day. It's been doing that a lot lately, frankly.
You can find me still on everybody's favorite place, Twitter. Wait, is it called X now? Wait, it's called X, isn't it? Oh, nobody cares.
It's funny, I've been listening to a podcast and I'm listening to their back catalog, and it's like episodes that they were recording like 2018, 2019. And even there, they are saying, "We are on the bad site, twitter.com." So.
Kami underscore Nomi. I actually didn't mention this at all, but I had a great time at EmblemCon, so I was spending my time doing that. And
Shit, I forgot
at
about
some point,
that!
I am going to, I think, share my complaints again, saying like, once again, I go to EmblemCon and I spent all my money, just
Actually,
spent my money,
it's probably a good thing I forgot about it because I spent entirely too much money at the Maryland Sheep and
spent
Wool
all my
Festival
money.
the other
So,
weekend.
yeah, you can check out the OSG.com for recent futures. You can follow the OASG on a bunch of social media sites. So Twitter, Blue Sky with the Mastodon bridging over. So yes, do that. Check out the OSG podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. Ask any artists if you have, or subscribe by email, all that good stuff. Rate and review, all cool. That's great. Until next time, everybody. Bye.
See ya!